Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown, and the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
Hi, David. How's it going, man?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us on this, you know, take away the focus a little bit from the trade deadline drama and countdown in anticipation.
I'm sure I'll hear a lot about that from Bigsy here in a few minutes.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, tell him to stop texting, please. Stop texting baseball thoughts.
Yeah, whatever.
Dan, let's go back to yesterday's. Caleb Williams was his weekly session with the media, and I think there was a lot of focus, as there has been, on the operation, the sure. Pre-snap cadence, the motions, all the things that have little to do with finding receivers, throwing the football, and executing the pass. But I think that's appropriate, and I think that Ben Johnson has emphasized that. What was your take on the way that Caleb Williams presented himself yesterday, and what kind of camp is he having?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things here, David. I think there's so much to remember about how much a quarterback is responsible for. And so when this regime under the new watch of Ben Johnson talked about building Caleb's foundation again, they were talking about some of the things that you mentioned there, being able to handle all the stuff pre-snap, being able to understand motions and shifts, which attach to which plays, how they time up, how all these things that happen before you have the football in your hand go towards creating successful plays once you do have the football in your hand. And so I think Caleb's still in the process of getting all that nailed down at the level of detail that his coaching staff wants. And there's a long way to go, right? Like, we haven't flipped the calendar to August yet. He doesn't have to be a finished product by week one, but they certainly need to make progress. Ben told us a week ago, this is a race. You got to make sure that you have a little hair in you and not just some tortoise as you're going through this race, and you can speed it up. As for your second question about what kind of camp he's having, I just kind of ho-hum to me at this point. And maybe behind closed doors, they're seeing progress that gives them a lot of encouragement. I'm just looking for a day, a period, a session here where you get a little bit of that playmaking sizzle, where it looks like the number one overall pick. And through seven practices, that just hasn't been there consistently.
There is the element of it's early in camp, so these questions tend to be things, the answers will change in a week, in a month, and certainly may not have any relevance. But if you were to say after the first week of camp what your biggest surprise and what your maybe biggest disappointment has been, what would they be?
Well, I'd say my biggest surprise probably is how well Nashawn Wright has held his own playing in that vacated cornerback role that Jalen Johnson is not holding down right now as he comes back from the leg injury. We're going to talk to Ben Johnson here at the top of the hour, and I hope we get a little bit more clarity on what the updates are on Jalen. You want to know how long does this have the potential to drag on. But I think with Wright, you know, they had a guy that came in with background with Al Harris, a guy who acclimated very well during the spring and in the early parts of camp has shown that, you know, he's not getting exposed very much. And so that, you know, you heard Dennis Allen say, hey, the number two cornerback job is up for grabs. I'm not so sure that, you know, we can count on Jalen Johnson being ready for week one yet. And so if you do have to go to the starting gate with Tyreek Stevenson and Nashawn Wright, you'll be able to sleep at night just seeing what he's done to this point. Biggest disappointment right now, I think it's not really a disappointment, but it's just a huge question mark. And we're going to hear from all three competitors in the left tackle competition today. I just want to know where they're going with that, right? Like, is the piece of the puzzle on offense that you really need to put in before you know what you can be. And so far, they've been splitting reps between the three of them. And at some point, one of these guys has to take a step forward.
Has that surprised you that with 40 NFL starts that Braxton Jones hasn't been the guy that Ben Johnson has favored more than the others? And do you think that part of the reason for the competition is the uncertainty surrounding his health status?
For sure. I mean, look, like you suffer a season-ending ankle fracture that requires surgery, and the tape that you put out before that doesn't necessarily mean as much if you can't back it up to show that you're that same player when you come back. And so, like, we're seven practices in. Braxton, by design, has been given two of those off as rest days. And so as he gradually continues this, you know, recovery and ramp up from the injury that you know, ended his season last year, you just need to see all the things that you want to see. Ben told us, you know, in the spring that pass protection is the number one responsibility and the number one box that they want checked when they make that decision on who their starting left tackle is going to be. And so, you know, when we get in these competitive periods, when we get in these one-on-one sessions, Braxton Jones is going to have to show some things. He's going to have to show that he can anchor to the level that the coaching staff wants him to anchor. And little by little, you hope that he makes enough progress to show that he can be an answer to that question if you need him to be. And then Trapillo, obviously, as a rookie, can have his say in this conversation over the next 3 or 4 weeks as well.
We're talking with Dan Weider from the Tribune and the Take the North podcast here on Mully and Haw. He's at Hallis Hall. Ben Johnson will speak to the Bears beat in about a half an hour or so. And Dan, every time we hear Ben Johnson speak, there is definitely intensity in his voice and there is purpose in his words. And I think it's very interesting to follow the way he has coached on the field. Anything about that surprise you, or have you already gotten used to Ben Johnson being a very hands-on coach, the kind of guy that will pull a rookie out of the formation, off the field, and plug in a veteran and say, that's how you do it, son?
Well, I know Biggsy mentioned this the other morning, that the idea that Ben felt comfortable in calling Luther Burden out for some misalignment mistakes and a walkthrough that nobody saw the other day was a testament to how much he wants this attention to detail to be, you know, something that is adhered to. Otherwise, there are going to be consequences, and he's not going to sugarcoat anything. I appreciate that about Ben. I've always kind of, I don't want to say roll my eyes, but maybe rolled my eyes at coaches that try to sugarcoat everything. I mean, this is the National Football League, and if you need to sugarcoat things for your team over and over and over again, you're never going to reach the level of competitiveness that's required to win championships. And so I think when Ben talks about the championship standard, he lives it with the way he coaches. He makes sure his coaches staff, you know, adheres to the same things and holds their players accountable. And so I'm not surprised by it anymore. I'm refreshed by it. And I hope it continues, because David, you and I have lived through way too many stretches of prolonged failure and mediocrity here to just kind of be like, oh, well, it's going to get fixed eventually.
Oh, I love it. I think it's the way that you have to deal with professional athletes these days. And I think that if those who reject that kind of coaching are, it's very telling if they do. Not that we've seen any signs of that, but I think it's definitely refreshing.
I will say this. You did hear in Caleb's words yesterday a little bit of a plea for positive reinforcement, right? Like, I'm cool being coached hard, but when we're in the long days of this grind and things are, adding up, if I do something well, just make sure you give me a little pat on the back every once in a while, because I'm going to need that as we go through this growth process. And I thought that was interesting to hear from the quarterback yesterday.
Interesting as in understandable, or interesting as in sign of weakness?
No, understandable, yeah. Right? Like you want to be able to know that the coaches have your back, right? And, and that they believe in you, and then you'll be willing to give them everything you got. And so that's the process that they're in. You know, we've talked for a long time about the synergy between play caller, head coach, and quarterback here. And so that's an ongoing process that both of them are going to have to kind of evolve with.
Conversely, you hear nothing but positives about Colston Loveland. They talk about him as if he's a veteran. He looks like he's made a quick impression, Dan. I love the fact that he wanted to test his shoulder by falling on it. So let's see how it works and recovers. This is somebody who already has operated and sounded like a guy who has proven a lot before he's even stepped, really done anything consequential. What have been your takeaways from Colston Loveland's first week?
Yeah, with a player like that who misses the entire spring and, you know, the OTAs and the mini camp, and you don't get to see him, all the things that they praise him for only mean so much until you see it with your own eyes. Well, now over 2 weeks of practice, we've seen it with our own eyes. And you're okay, this guy looks the part of a top 10 pick. He looks the part of a guy who has high level football instincts. A guy who we knew coming into the league was going to have elite separation skills and abilities as a pass catcher that are going to help his offense. But then he's a willing and able blocker and understands his assignments. And so all of those things, I think, have won the coaching staff over quickly. And now you just got to keep putting one foot in front of the other and building up your own library of things that you need. The regular season is coming faster than we realize, and you want Colston Loveland to be as big a part of your offense as he possibly can be when those lights go on Monday night, the first weekend of September.
I don't always like comparisons in terms of coaching staffs, but I do wonder what you thought of early in the week when I mentioned that Dennis Allen to Ben Johnson reminds me of what it could be Vic Fangio to Matt Nagy, just because, as you chuckle, the kind of profile. I know Vic Fangio is one of the best in the business, but he's kind of a guy who was a football lifer who was all ball all the time. And Dennis Allen strikes me as the same kind of guy. And likewise, Ben Johnson is the hot young play caller that Matt Nagy was in 2018. Is that an apt comparison, and why did you chuckle?
Well, two reasons I chuckled. Number one, because I miss Vic. Like, Vic being in this building was just fun to be around. And I, like, they are different personality-wise, but they have similar competitive confidence, if that makes sense. And so I think, like, Dennis Allen isn't out here just trying to kind of go through the motions and do things. He's out here to win competitive periods in practice, and he's not going to apologize for doing things to the offense that makes them incredibly uncomfortable. And so I think you've seen that through seven practices at camp, that he's willing to turn some things loose, that he is desiring victory in each period of practice, and I think that's meaningful for a team. I think the other thing that you've seen with Dennis Allen is this creativity to want to be a chess master, and it shows up most with Kyler Gordon, with the desire to use him both in the slot and outside and swing him back to free safety when it calls for it, and just being able to have pieces to your defense that make you flexible and make you very unpredictable to the offense, I think is very valuable. And I think DA is in the early process of figuring out what that's going to look like when they start playing real games.
Let's talk about that for a second. I think Kyler Gordon, you trust Dennis Allen because he's got a career worth of making guys like that maximize their ability and reach their potential. At the same time, with Kyler Gordon, they're paying him like an elite nickelback. And I wonder if by using him in a variety of different ways, are you lessening his impact as a nickelback, a guy who can blitz, a guy who can stop the run, a guy who can be a great matchup in the slot against whoever the other team's receiver there is. And I just wonder, when you use a guy in a variety of ways, are you lessening his value at his most important role?
No, because I think what you're paying him to do is to be an impact defender, and I think they see an option here to make him give him opportunity to have even more impact than he's had. And that does come in the construct of an entire defense where you've got 11 guys to figure out how on each given situation you can turn loose something that makes the offense have to respond to you, that you're the aggressor. And I think being able to have a player as smart as Gordon, as versatile as Gordon, as athletic as Gordon, gives you options to be really, really dangerous as a defense. And leaning into that with the player telling you, like, this is how I'm going to take my career to the next level, is real valuable. And I think that they're going to find the healthy balance of all that. I don't think they're going to minimize what he does really well, on a base level, and they're going to find ways to take him up a notch.
Last thing before I let you go, Dan, you referenced this. You said that if Jalen Johnson is available week one, have you learned out any other information about whether or not that's a realistic possibility? Where are the Bears with Jalen Johnson?
Yeah, I have no idea. And it's on the top of my list of questions for Ben here. We're, about to start practice 8 today. I think it's fair to get an update on where he's at and what they see as the best case scenario here. We haven't seen him beside the practice field at all. And that, to me, registers as a little bit unusual. A lot of times you got guys doing their rehab off to the side. That's understandable. But at some point over 2 weeks, you see their smiling face beside the practice field, whooping it up and supporting teammates and doing everything else. And so I just want to know a little bit more about what Jalen's situation is and where they're headed. Because, as we say, it's not August yet, but September's coming fast, right? And so they've got to be aware of all that.
Great stuff, Dan. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Dave. We'll talk soon.
Dan Wiederer up at Hallis Hall covering the Bears for the Tribune and the Take the North podcast. Regular contributor every week right here on the Mullenhaw Show.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We need to talk with Stoney. This week when we were talking about Ozzy Osbourne, if you go back and watch the video of him singing the seventh inning stretch, there's Steve Stone standing there marveling at what was going on. Do you remember that, and what was going through your head if you do?
Well, I remember it clearly for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the whole thing when he messed up, you know, take me out to the ball game, that was an act. First of all, he's a professional singer, as we know. And he was a wonderful singer, and I certainly love Black Sabbath. But also, he had the words that were taped right on the monitor that was right in front of him. So if he wanted to sing those words, he could have.
Take me in, bring me to you. I don't remember what I have to do.
But he chose not to because he wanted to make it a show.
I didn't buy that from Steve Stone, by the way.
I certainly love Black Sabbath.
That I bought.
No, we didn't have any music when I was growing up.
It's that Gregorian chant.
Stoney has a lot of interest that you would be like, wait, really?
I go in there and crank...
some Black Sabbath, apparently.
Crank War Pigs in the back of the booth when I see him on Sunday.
I'm sure
John Trippin will enjoy that.
Have to hear that song again.
Generals gathered in their masses.
Yes.
Just like witches at black masses.
I love the music.
Evil minds that plot destruction.
Ooh.
Sorcerer of death's construction.
I certainly love Black Sabbath.
Listen, kid, sometimes things end up much better than you'd expect, all right? Think of it this way. When Black Sabbath fired Ozzy in 79, you would have figured it was all f***ing over.
Who's Black Sabbath?
Get the f*** off my property. I just want to know.
No curtains allowed.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show, full boat for you today. We're here until 6 o'clock, and there's a lot of stuff that we have to get done. We'll see if there's any sort of maneuvering that goes on as the trade deadline closes in on the Cubs. What will they do? John Morosi is going to join us at 4 o'clock. We'll talk with him about all sorts of stuff. Chris Emma's got our Bears hit. He reminds me that the Shamar Turner injury is an ankle suffered at practice last Wednesday, and now Biggs is reporting that he could be out for a month or more. Ron Coomer will join us at 5:25. Tanny did the open, but he had some place to be today. So for now, Alex is flying solo, which scares all of us. We are going to run 11 personnel. We got one of the Tylers coming in here in about 30 minutes.
You said the quiet part out loud about being scared for Alex. Or is it scared for us?
It's scared for Alex. Yeah. He'll be fine.
I just want him to just relax and just be, let it be what it is,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. By the way, good. That man is Matt Spiegel. See, he got that part.
He didn't nail that part.
There's a lot for us to get into inside of today's show, including talking about the weekend that was over at 35th and Shields.
Yeah, man, and a ton of other, like, baseball stuff. Hall of Fame ceremonies conveniently tucked in on a Sunday against a full slate of games. Bryce Harper yelling in the face of the commissioner inside a clubhouse. We need to discuss that.
Yep.
And, non-disciplinary paid leave for superstar relievers as it relates to gambling investigations. A light news day.
Gambling investigations and possible trade just scrubbed because this guy is now on the list. You're on the list.
But as you said, like, phones are blowing up, including mine, like people and friends and sources and semi-sources and people who want to be sources, people who think they're sources, and I don't have the heart to tell them they're not sources.
Semi-sources is great. Didn't they do closing time?
I think they did, as a matter of fact. So it's like, all right, you're trying to sort through all the rubble that is trade deadline shenanigans, but we'll be on top of it. But you came in hot today, in this morning in the thread and pregame, saying that there's stuff that was said over the weekend that we need to hear, because we spent a lot of time dissecting Ben and Caleb, and we always will. There's something you heard that rejiggers some things.
Yes, and I sent a couple text messages like after, because I watched it yesterday, and I was sitting there going, oh, that's interesting. We should probably talk about that. And I said, hey, I'm reading this like this. Am I reading it correctly since you were in the room? And these people were like, yes, that is how pretty much all of us read this. You know how we've been talking about the experience of Caleb was, and it's been clunky. I'm not really that worried, and you and I discussed it a little bit last week. If things still look bad at the end of this week, then maybe I'll worry, but this is a new system, so I'm expecting there to be some bumps.
And some days have been very bumpy. Some days have not. Even over the weekend, some days were not.
Correct.
As we catch up.
Correct. But I wanted you to hear this from Ben, because you and I have been trying to figure out, like, well, is Caleb... Is this like his rookie year all over again? No, it can't be, right? Because he played 17 games last year and he threw for over 3,000 yards. And there's got to be something in that that allows him to fast track picking up this new system. Ben Johnson is not here for that theory.
As you work with Caleb, a lot of what you're describing over the last 6 months or so since you've been here is literally from the ground up with his footwork. How much... or what is reasonable to expect to have carried over from last year? As you try to teach him, what does he already have from playing a full season?
There really isn't a ton of carryover from what he was asked to do, the play calls or anything of that nature. I mean, he's always been very comfortable as a shotgun quarterback going back to college and even last year. He's very comfortable in a two-minute setting. He's very comfortable with tempo-type plays. And so now we're asking him to be a little bit more structured in terms of the play calls. Sometimes there's multiple calls. You know, there's shifts, there's motions. There's a lot more going on mentally than probably there's ever been for him. And so at some point, this thing will start slowing down, and he's going to be able to catch up, and his physical ability will take over from there. But right now, because mentally it is what it is, he's playing a little bit slower than what he's capable of.
Is there anything that is... I mean, he's not a rookie. Is there anything that you get from those 17 games last year, at least in seeing defenses, seeing personnel? Is there anything that is already built?
Yeah, because I wasn't here, I can't speak entirely to that. But sure, I think he understands what a training camp's going to be about. He knows what a game week is going to look like. There's some things that hopefully the anxiety level goes down because, oh, okay, I know what to expect now, but it's still, there's a lot different than what there was for him a year ago.
Oh, I'm so glad you included the follow-up.
So, Speaks, you read it like I read it. Ben Johnson telling you that basically he learned nothing last year.
Nothing. That sounded like it is a waste. That rookie year that they flat out wasted, which we suspected, a full year of potential development for a number one overall pick. That answer on the follow-up, like, that's Jason Leisure trying to say, well, there must
throw
be
something out there.
There must be something. And Ben's like, yeah, no. Like, what training camp looks like, what a week of preparation looks like.
So wow. You have to realize now. That, and there's another thing in there that I want to get your thoughts on too, but you have to realize now that we're kind of dealing with a rookie quarterback again. He is starting from nothing. So the fact that it does look a little clunky and bumpy, I actually have more sympathy and empathy for it now when you hear Ben Johnson be like, no, you know those guys who were here? Here's what Ben Johnson told you. You know those guys who were here last year working with Caleb?
Yeah.
They were a bunch of idiots. So we have to unlearn some stuff, and now we're asking him to do stuff that he's never done before. So we've got to deprogram him, then reprogram him to what it is that we want to do.
Makes me want to go back and think about schematically what Waldron was thinking. Was he just trying to, like, let Caleb be Caleb and do a little bit more? You know, like a little bit more based on that, because they were just letting Caleb do a lot of Caleb things and be in the gun an awful lot. And Ben is saying, no, this is completely unlike everything we did last year. I think, which I've known intellectually, but to hear it that starkly is quite something.
It's hard to believe that the experience of being an NFL quarterback, going through 17 games, that there isn't something that they feel like they can get. But I kept thinking about this weekend because, you know, I love my comic book movies. There's this point during Avengers Endgame where Loki is trying to convince Thanos that he should go back to Earth with him because he goes, well, you'll need an experienced tour guide. And Thanos is like, if you count failure as experience, then sure. And that's what this felt like to me. Like, all of that failure was not the experience that anyone wanted for Caleb. And then Ben Johnson is like, no, there wasn't a lot there for us to be able to do with him. And then you get into, like, the mechanics of it, Speaks. The mechanics of we are asking him to do some different stuff. Hmm. And I think that he kind of answered our question without me having to ask the question.
Which one?
The one about whether or not they want Caleb to take some risk.
Yes.
To kind of play a little bit of depth finder. And Courtney Cronin had asked a question that is similar to that this weekend. The answer is no. They do want him to play a little bit more like Jared Goff. And then if a play breaks down, then go crazy. Do all the crazy cool stuff that you can do.
That's
but that is not the goal immediately, is for them to build it so that he can thrive with his athleticism and kind of the twitchy stuff that he's able to do in the pocket.
That makes sense to me. Actually, to be like, no, just learn what the safe thing is. Learn what the safe thing is. Do the safe thing, and that's that. So as soon as you do the safe thing and you know what that is, then maybe every once in a while you can push the envelope a little bit and do the other thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's an important thing because this conversation of like, I don't know, are you worried or not? And it sounds like, I mean, you're still the mayor of Worrytown, but you're doing a pretty even-handed job. You're reaching across the aisle right now.
I mean, you have to do that, Speegs. It's very important.
You are. You're like, to the non-denizens of Worrytown, you're like, we don't need just population for the sake of populating.
No, you got to
right
come
now.
Over here filled with absolute worry. We don't want you to just come over here because you feel like you should.
Right. Because that's, in the end, that'll lower the property value.
Yeah, we don't need that.
You got some non-worriers living in Worrytown.
Yeah, we can't have that.
No, you can't have that. So, no, I admire your leadership as the mayor.
And Ben was also kind of saying to everyone that was assembled up there that the reason that it will look like, and we're going to see it in practice, and we might even see it in the games and the joint practices.
Yeah.
It's going to look like Case knows a lot more about this offense is because he does, and he's done this before.
Uh-huh.
So this is not foreign to him. So if your expectation, like, I know that a lot of people are like, man, this is it. We got the guy, we got the coach. I'm just saying that you should probably recalibrate expectations for a little bumpiness. And it's funny because someone that said to me, someone who covers the team and said to me, this is going to be a really interesting 12 weeks for the Bears. And so I started doing the math and I'm like, oh, so take them through the first 2 months of the season on this because of where the quarterback is.
Yeah, it's a really interesting first couple of months here for Bears fans. These conversations have found me out in the wild.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Everyone wants to talk Bears.
And a lot of people are like, I don't know, man, Caleb, I don't know, because they see this stuff. And it's a question of like, all right, how much of a conversation do I actually want to have? I'm not at work right now, yada, yada. But then you when you do know some stuff and you can help with some context, it's really valuable. All right, that's important stuff to hear, that flat out call of zero value in the entire
part of being having tactics.
Yeah. I hope the people that were watching on Twitch really could see your face when that 7.5 month pregnant pause happened after the second question.
Seriously, the fact that there's nothing there. And you know what? There's even more context in a column from a national football guy today about this. Let's continue the conversation. Lots of Cubs Sox at 3 o'clock, and we got a lot of Cubs Brewers on the show for you and everything like that, Lawrence. But there's even more context on how to feel about Caleb's ramp up period under Ben Johnson that I want to bring to you.
So let's get into that, and we appreciate you hanging out with us. It's a beautiful day. We know that you have all sorts of options, so we are pleased that you pick Spiegel and Holmes as your choice. We will come back, talk a lot more Bears. Don't worry though, at 3 o'clock we are going to shift things over to what was a very interesting weekend over on the South Side. So don't go anywhere. We got you until 6 o'clock at Spiegel and Holmes on the Score.
This is the Mayor talking.
All right, all right.
I've been used to tough coaching throughout my years. I've had different type of personalities throughout my years of coaching, but the I would say majority of my career of playing football has been tough coaching, and it's greatly appreciated because that's what you need to be able to at this level, especially to be able to go out there and execute and play at your best is somebody up on you, coaching you hard and pushing you, and that could be teammates and that could be coaches, and we're working on the leading by example. We're working on the teammates aspect of it because that's that's how you go win. That's elite teams is when the players are leading. But in the beginning, coach has set the example of how he wants things run and the standard, and then from there we take it and we lead.
It's Caleb Williams talking about tough coaching that he's had to deal with, and now he is face to face with the toughest challenge of his life. And Ben Johnson and what Ben Johnson wants done on this offense. There was one thing, and I should have pointed it out to Alex, but there was one thing that you could tell that Ben Johnson, like the switch flipped on him, where they were talking to him about like all of the things and like it not looking as good as it probably could look. And he was like, yeah, the center exchange. Yeah, we can't have that. That's something we can't have. We can't have that. That's got to be like, I was like, oh, that's the trigger. That thing right there is something that bothers you.
I understand. I got to tell you, when the mayoral music is playing there, it's hard for me just not to picture you like in a 3-piece suit, sitting there trying to like green light some funding for like a third private office. Something like that. You're seeing if you can like put a Jamaican vacation on your expense account.
I'm not running the township of Thornton. I'm running Worry Town. It's a whole different thing.
Okay. See if you can buy a couple more show horses for your collection.
I'm not the mayor of Dalton.
Was it Dixon where like she worked as like the city clerk or something? She worked with the finance and like, wow, she came into a lot of money. Yeah. It's really interesting.
I wonder how that happened. Yeah,
she bought another horse.
There's a lot of trips to Las Vegas all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. It's hard not to picture you as that. But I was reading Albert Breer today, and a lot of times, and let me ask you this, because it's certainly my perception. Sometimes when the national guy comes to town, like the coach or the GM might give him a little something.
Especially when they probably have had a relationship prior.
Right.
When someone was an assistant.
So Albert Breer watched practice on Friday morning and wrote about it on SI.com with his NFL takeaways today. And that was the rough practice on Friday morning, and was trying to figure out what was going on. And Declan Doyle and Ben Johnson told Albert Breer that the period in the morning where Caleb really struggled the most, those first few throws, is what the Bears call their wake-up period at the start of practice, where the defense sends pressure at the offense to give Dennis Allen's group the work it needs and also to test Williams. It intentionally stresses Williams after the snap, yes, but more so, it's about forcing him to do the right thing before the snap with what the quarterback refers to casually as PSP, pre-snap procedure. The Bears want to see the right checks. They want to see the right communication. They want to see Williams' eyes in the right place. They know it's not automatic. They also think that if they can accelerate the volume of things William is seeing and dealing with, it will accelerate his growth and also their knowledge of what he can and can't do heading into his second season as a pro. So intentionally stressing him pre-snap.
Pushing to failure to grow.
Yes. And that's where we've been pretty hard on him since the beginning, Ben Johnson said, being consistent, true to his thought process pre-snap. So add that in, Mr. Mayor, to your denizens of Worrytown and what seems to be, frankly, a delightful lack of recruitment from you today to join you in Worrytown, at least about the quarterback early on in the process.
I think that it's important because, look, we tend to go through this every year. Now, unfortunately, we tend to go through this every year because the quarterback has not been up to their draft expectation.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, people are excited to have football back. People want this Bear season to be dope. And I'm right there with them. It's a lot more fun when the Bears are good.
Yeah, man.
It's because, I mean, we got success from last season, and that's a rarity. The Bears were a very strange cocktail of being bad and also interesting, which I think led to us having success as a show.
I think that's true. And but we'd much rather they'd be good and interesting.
Yes.
And they're going to be interesting this year no matter what.
I agree, but it would be nice if they're good. So,
yeah.
So keeping all of that in mind, like, I want to try and be fair, and I want people to understand that what Caleb is being asked to do is completely foreign from what it is that he was doing before. And I do like that it's an interesting approach. Like, there are some coaches who would say, we will try to boost his confidence throughout this process no matter what.
Right, and that's not what they're doing. So I think
we are trying to destroy you so that you understand how far you have to go.
That sounds like, I want to say military in nature in terms of a Marine boot camp, but I also want to say a smaller scale of things, like if you ever pledged a fraternity, they try to break you of the way you think about groups and brotherhoods so you can relearn it. Like, there's a million different things like that.
Lifting weights itself, where you lift to failure so that your muscles can actually grow.
Well, that's interesting. So, and because Ben is a weightlifter as well, as we know. But this idea of trying to break him of the habits that last year did not break him of. Last year was a wasted year in terms of breaking those habits.
But the cool thing is that they're hopefully going to give him the tools to help get him versus what it is that we saw last year. Here's our guy, Declan Doyle, talking about that process that Spiegs just read about.
That's very intentional. That's trying to get our defensive pressures in against some of the stuff we're going to do offensively. We have contingency plans for, you know, what they are going to bring at us. And so the quarterback operating, getting the offense on the same page as far as, you know, checking plays, checking protections, things like that. But that's all a part of the scripted practice. It's trying to get the defense right with their pressure patterns and the way they're going to play coverage on the back end. And then it's getting our quarterbacks used to whether we're throwing the ball or, you know, up front handling the movement with those run schemes.
You know, it's interesting because Declan did give us that the other day, and Alex Kuhn had heard it and we played it and talked about it. But something about the way that Albert wrote it, you know, maybe that's the skills of a writer, maybe that's his intention or whatever it is, or some of the background and the context that he had on it makes it even more digestible in some ways.
Oh, and the botched snaps, Ben Johnson called it high school Harry stuff.
Oh,
like, we got rid of the high school Harry stuff.
That's too bad.
He said it was happening like once a practice.
Can't have that.
Not that high school Harry stuff.
Poor Harry.
Yeah, what did he do?
Harry was a third string quarterback who never should have played in the high school game.
No, but he was forced to, and he went out there and he did his best.
No, he didn't. He botched every snap.
That's why
they call it high school Harry.
But he's a high school player.
That was his thing.
He's third string.
Shout out to all the listeners who are like, oh my God, you know about the story from Dixon. Oh yeah, Rita Crundwell was her name. She was the comptroller and the treasurer of Dixon for 40 years, Lawrence. She was fired and arrested in April of 2012 after she had been discovered to have embezzled $53.7 million from the city of Dixon.
That's a lot.
To support her championship American quarter horse breeding operation. It makes it even sadder and funnier because they were quarter horses. They're like these little
guys. Yeah, they're just little guys.
Little guys.
Jokic probably went in there and bought everything.
Dude, how about that?
People are all Jokic, man.
He was emotional because his horse won.
But not emotional when they won the NBA championship. Hey,
man.
Some people have different levels.
Be who you are.
Be you. It says it on the card. Wait, that's a different coach. Anyway, we need to take a break. When we come back, it was a really interesting weekend that happened at 35th and Shields between the Cubs and the White Sox. Spiegs was there. He was there yesterday and has got stories.
But you made something happen, Lawrence, which we should kick off the conversation. Something that this show made happen through you. We'll kick it off.
All right, we'll do all of that stuff. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. It's the Spiegel and Holmes Show on The Score.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Mark Potash.
Thanks for remembering me.
Well, we remember you, man.
They'll take the North guys, drop me like a hot potato as soon as I left, and I got a phone to pick with those guys. But Spiegel and Holmes show is on the good list.
Afternoons on the Score.
For Montez, we had a good conversation. I know he's disappointed in himself and wants to continue to get better. I know and he knows he's capable of much more. Also, as we continue to build the defensive line, adding more talent on that will help. When we looked at some of the chip numbers and the double teams, he did get a fair share of those too. And the way that you defeat that is continue to add talent to create more one-on-one matchups.
Well, that took a little bit of a hit today with the news from Brad Biggs that Shamar Turner is going to be out a month or more after leaving Wednesday's practice with an ankle injury.
That'd be the second round defensive lineman for your Chicago Bears.
Who I love.
You do.
I'm a fan.
Not just because he punched a dude in the ding ding.
I mean, that helps. I mean, I like that he's got some nasty to him. It's funny because even though it's not necessarily the same position, I think that his stats in college are similar to Dayo Odingbo's, where it's like, man, there's a lot of potential, but not a lot of production. And so I'm hoping that both guys end up producing, but missing a month of training camp is not a great start. Not that it's his fault. It's just that it's one of those things that makes it difficult at a position where the Bears need to be better. They've got to affect the other team's offense more than what they've been doing the last couple of years.
So does Montez Sweat. And he has he had kind of a down year last year for a team that had a down year last year. But he's been very present and very active in the offseason by choice. So that is among the things he discussed with the media yesterday. And here's Montez Sweat on the new scheme and if he's ready to resume being the man.
It's a complex scheme. I think it keeps you on your toes, but it challenges us as a defense to hone in on our communication and just flourish in that way.
Then Jensen said you were particularly locked in during the offseason, perhaps kind of unhappy with the way last season went for you personally. Is that fair to say? Is that accurate? Can you expand on that a little bit?
I believe y'all asked me that question at OTAs. I think I already touched on it. Okay. Was you? yeah, but I reiterated. It was just I feel like it was important for a new scheme, especially with a complex scheme like this, just to come in, learn the defense, and try to learn it once or twice, and again as the season goes along.
Do you feel like you're the guy that needs to lead the pass rush this season?
Sir. What'd you say?
Do you feel like you're the guy that needs to kind of spearhead the pass rush this season?
I mean, it's a job. It's a collective job as a group. But, I mean, I guess if you say I'm the guy, yeah, I want to be the guy.
Ooh, a little bit of an edge there with Biggsy, huh?
Yeah.
A little bit.
I'd like to see some of that edge on the edge.
On the edge, where he plays. Yeah, he's got some work to do. Ben Johnson was pleased that he did come in the offseason, did come in for the OTAs, which he doesn't have to do, but he did, chose to, and for the reasons that he said. You know what I like? He watches film every offseason of some of the best DNs around the league to try and do some homework, and in the past he's watched T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett. You know who we watched this time? Cam Jordan. Awful lot of Cam Jordan.
Well, that would make sense because that's Dennis Allen's defense. So he's watching how Cam Jordan navigated that defense and goes, oh, maybe I can do some of that stuff.
Yep. He said Cam Jordan has always been one of those premier pass rushers in the league. Kind of hard not to watch him. I've gone back and looked at some of the film, how he's excelled in this defense under Dennis Allen. And even though they don't have identical builds, and I'm reading some of this from Scott Baer over at Marquee.
Yeah, Montez is long. Like Montez is what,
6'6"? 6'6", 262. Cam Jordan, 6'4", 287. Their size allows them both to generate push against the run in the pass. A quote from Montez, it's just all about creating those one-on-ones and doing what I need to do when it's called on to be done. So I like that he's looking at Cam and trying to learn from that.
Yeah, you pick up wherever you can, like any sort of tip that you can pick up as you're trying to learn a new defense and how a new defense fits in. I'm here for it. But they speaks. They've got to take a step forward with the pass rush. Now look, they're going to be helped out. It's going to be accelerated because of the confusion that Dennis Allen causes right. on the way that he calls a game.
What if they were to add somebody really good? What if they were to add a superhero, Lawrence? What if they were able to add any superhero they wanted? Who would be the best one to add to the team? This is a question that Bears players were asked. I think it's one of those things at camp where they ask all the players.
Yeah, they put like a TikTok video together of this.
The Green Lantern?
I don't believe. We'll see if anybody does.
Kilowog would be great. Green Lantern Kilowog would be great on the Bears defensive line.
Here's a little more than a minute of Bears players discussing which superhero would be best to add to this team.
Which superhero would you add to the roster?
Flash.
Drop back and throw deep.
Spot. Oh, no, we already go to Spider-Man.
Flash.
Superman.
Hulk.
Hand the ball and run, jump over some people.
It's gotta be the Hulk to play O-line, right?
I'll go Superman. He's OP.
We already got one on our team. We don't need to add one. We got Spider-Man.
I'm an Iron Man fan, but he couldn't really help us out.
Spider-Man. Spider-Man can do everything that we do.
I'm giving the ball to the Flash.
Unpopular opinion, Wolverine wouldn't be bad. Sturdy, heavy body. What people don't know about Wolverine, he's fast, agile. He ain't afraid to get physical, too.
Spider-Man, catching everything.
Batman. See it right here.
King T'Challa.
I would say Spider-Man, but that's already here.
Why would you not do Superman? Like, who beat Superman?
Wait. What's your answer?
I would say Spider-Man, but we have that already.
I kind of got to go Flash.
Because who guarded Flash?
Superman.
Superman is not guarding Flash.
Man, he putting hands on that boy at the line.
He got to catch him off the line. Man.
Incredible Hulk in the trenches.
Boy taking Hulk. Triple team.
Hulk.
Pass!
Hulk.
Wolverine.
Feel bad in that because he's my superhero.
It's like Batman.
We had the Hulk. He's stopping everything.
I got to answer the question. I got to answer the question. Come on, you know what it is.
All right. I feel like Batman is the worst answer possible. He's just a dude.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy.
He's a strong guy.
Strong guy. But smart.
But they literally already have guys that have the physical makeup of Batman.
Okay, all right, cool.
On their team.
Double checking on that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Spider-Man, but they have one already because that's Kyler, you know.
Yeah, and that's why you kept getting the in the middle of that because they were just going to clips of Kyler. Yeah.
And then a lot of the Flash. I mean, Tyreek Hill's success makes a lot of sense.
A lot of Wolverine, and I'm glad to see guys doing that.
Tell people why.
Well, Wolverine is really strong. He is slight. He in the canon, like Hugh Jackman is actually a foot taller than Wolverine actually is.
That guy's got a huge Ackman as well.
He does.
It's enormous.
That's why they call him that. So he's 5'3", but he's thick and he's indestructible. We're probably not going to let him use his claws because it's the NFL.
Probably.
But we
got to get those claws trimmed before every game.
We never have to worry about him not recovering from an injury because that's his mutant superpower is that he always heals.
What a gift that would be.
No matter what. So if you wanted to go, you probably don't want to put Deadpool has a similar power, but you probably don't want to put Deadpool on the team because he's going to make things awkward in your locker room. But Wolverine's got an edge to him.
Right.
He's kind of mean. Now, he is Canadian. Mm. So they're, you know, but the Bears have done well with Canadian born players.
That's right.
Israel Adonijé.
And who's the dealer? Akeem Hicks.
Yeah. So there you go.
So, all right, it's pretty good. So a lot of people going Hulk in there. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world.
It does. I do fear that he might be drawn offside very easily.
That's why my response is always to go with the Thing. Instead of the Hulk.
That's a good call.
The Thing, you know, the head slap. When the Thing gives you the head slap as a pass rusher, I mean, no lineman can, frankly, even survive that. So, but maybe it could be the Thing on one edge as a tackle and the Hulk as the other tackle, if those were your bookend tackles, but controlling the Hulk is a difficult thing.
That's probably why you want him as a defensive lineman, but there's going to be a third and five. There's going to be a third and five where the Hulk is just going to – he's going to be fired up. Someone's going to say something. He's going to jump across, and it's going to be a whole new set of downs.
Yeah.
And then he's going to get mad at himself, uh-huh. And he's probably going to get flagged for something. Like, it's
problem is you calm him down, you're left with Bruce Banner.
Right.
And you're like, what am I doing here?
Yeah, and then you got to slap Bruce Banner and turn him back into the Hulk. Like, it's not good. The Flash as a wide receiver makes a lot of sense.
And that was Caleb at the beginning. No surprise he wanted the Flash.
I would offer up Wonder Woman as a wide receiving candidate. She is tough as nails. She gonna run through you.
What kind of league is this?
If we're doing superheroes, like,
she's gonna run through you. And you know what? Everybody could fly home on the see-through plane. The team plane would be.
Well, that's really only for two people.
Just for her and Caleb or whoever she wants.
Whoever gets the ride home. Mm. Because Wonder Woman is listed as like 6'2", 175.
Slot receiver right there.
Yep.
That is a good slot
and
size.
And strong as all hell.
So as a kid, I remember thinking, why would anyone choose the Flash over Superman? Superman is as fast as the Flash.
No, he is not.
He's not?
It's not even close.
Really?
Yes.
But I thought Superman was as fast as anybody.
No, he is not.
How is that not possible?
Because the Flash is tapped into the Speed Force, which is a lot faster. Like, there's plenty.
I'm asking the wrong guy.
There's plenty of canon of this, too, where it's like the Flash and Superman are going to have a race for charity.
Hmm.
And the joke is always that the Flash allows for the race to be close.
Thor as a quarterback or Thor in general? Some people are asking.
I mean, sure, you put a Norse god up there, that tends to work. We might have to we have to make some rules on and whether or not gods and goddesses can be on the team, but fair enough. Like, that's a good choice.
Yeah, there's some that just don't make any sense at all.
I would
Batman
also,
makes no sense at all.
I would offer Captain America as your running back or wide receiver could be a good choice, or as your quarterback.
Yeah. Who's the one with the arch? Is the archer the one who shoots a lot?
Hawkeye? He's just a guy.
Yeah.
He's just a guy.
So no Hawkeye.
Now, if you wanted to put Hawkeye in the PGA, I'm here for it.
Okay.
As he has said in movies, I went and played golf. I played 18, and I shot 18. So
there you go.
So if you wanted to get him into the PGA, sure.
Juggernaut. A lot of textures suggesting Juggernaut as halfback.
Another issue of control.
Bad guy.
Yeah, that's a bad locker room guy. Bad, great player. Bad locker room
guy. Would you consider drafting him number 9 overall? Like one of the top prospects
overall.
I would draft him
number 9 if I had the opportunity to do so. But yes.
All right. See, I'm glad we did this.
Yep. I did a whole thing on this, right?
Then there's a super dog. Who came up with a super dog?
I did not know you did a whole thing, a whole team?
15 years ago. I made Team Marvel and Team DC.
Oh, okay. There
it was
go.
On the Scores website.
Yeah. Oh, was it really?
I did the whole thing from ownership down.
Oh, you did? So this has all been fleshed out?
A little bit. So it's a long time ago.
Who's on the coaching staff?
Oh, I think I had Maxwell Lord as the GM of Team DC. I had Tony Stark owning Team Marvel.
Oh, that's good.
And Nick Fury was the GM.
Yeah, Tony
of
Stark.
Team Marvel.
Tony Stark is an owner, man. Those locker rooms would be elite.
And Bruce Wayne as Team DC's
owner.
Oh,
yeah, there you go. There you go.
So
then you've got Batman if you really needed him.
Yeah, because he's
which
got,
you don't.
Because he's got money.
Mm-hmm.
Batman's biggest power is the writer's pen. Take that, studs.
I wonder if Batman would sign Michael Parsons, even after, perhaps after the fans. You see the fans chanting, pay Micah at Cowboys camp?
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
While Jerry's walking around there.
It's a whole thing got going on.
As it should be.
It's bad. When we come back, we will stop talking about superheroes in football, though.
Hey, man,
I could do this all day.
I know, and I brought it up.
If you're the White Sox, how should you feel about this weekend, Speaks? I want you to think about that and then share your thoughts with the world next on The Score.